Galatians 5, now we're kind of going along at a snail's pace. One, we're covering a lot of stuff, and I don't think the pace is too slow. I know we're not covering a lot of verses, but we're covering a lot of material. And this question comes up very, very often still to this day. I have people asking me about what to do about the Sabbath. As a Christian, what part of the law is incumbent upon us? I hope I've kind of nailed that. I hope we've talked about that to the point where it's not even a question in your brain anymore. And if it is, let's plunge in. We're in chapter 5, and we got out to verse 12. In verse 1, it's important to kind of start there as by way of refresher. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Only Christ makes you free. So what should we do? Well, you got to stand fast in that liberty. You can't let anyone take it away from you with a bunch of rules. And when it says, be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage that it's talking about is the law. Not really. Yeah. I mean, if you read the rest of the book, there's no other conclusion. He goes on to say, listen, if you get circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. I'm testifying, I'm telling you, that once you get circumcised, you have to do the whole law. All 613 rules. Don't bother with 612. You've got to do every part of the law. You know, you think that's pretty daunting. I know in the past people have read through parts of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, said, okay, don't suffer a witch to live. I don't know what to do with that. Don't boil a goat in its mother's milk. Never boil the goat. See that? I'm walking in victory right here, right now. And then you look at the next part and don't cut the corners of your beard and you're thinking, okay, I could do that, I guess. No, I like to be clean shaven and you're wondering. And so you're thinking, so you're picking and choosing, okay, I'll do this, I'll not do this. I don't even know how to do this. But listen, law keepers, listen, this is what you got to know. 613 or zero. You can't mix and match. You can't pull out which ones you want to obey and which ones you don't. Nobody's giving you the opportunity. Nobody's affording you that decision. Paul's saying right here, and I don't know if they can be said any better. I'm testifying, every one of you that you think circumcision is the way to go, you got to do it all. Christ has become no effect. You're a law keeper. You're not saved by grace through faith. You're not saved because Jesus died for you. You're saved because you keep the law. Christ is of no effect for you whatsoever. And he goes on to say, in Christ neither the circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. But you know what the thing is? Faith. And faith that works by love. And we're going to emphasize and talk about the love here a little bit this morning. You were doing good. How did you trip up? How did somebody cut in on you? Is verses 7. Verse 8 says, this isn't of God. The one who called you, this isn't of God. So really, what else could that possibly mean? I tell you why it's not of God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And he's saying, I think you're going to figure this all out. And he ends up in verse 12. We talked about this last week. I don't really want to talk about it again, but we have to a little bit, just because it's the springboard from which we're going to the next section. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. You'll have a gloss. It says something like emasculated. I wish they were emasculated or something like that. Nah, close. When he's saying, I wish they were cut off, this is what Paul's saying. You think cutting off a little bit of skin, circumcision, is a good idea? Why don't you go varsity? Just get rid of the whole business. Saying he's not really saying that. Yes, he really is. That's dreadful. I know it's a really bad joke, right? He's not joking. We don't want them people procreating, is what he's saying. And procreating, we're not talking about procreating, i.e., having children, spiritual children. We don't want them procreating. We don't want them. Those ones who trouble you, those ones who say, oh, yeah, you're Christian, you love Jesus. Well, you better love Moses too because you got to keep the whole law. He's saying, no, I want those people cut off. And when he's saying cut off, he's talking about physical, snip, 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 cut off. Like circumcision, no, more than that. That's where we are. That's what Paul thinks about it. You think I come up with these ideas all by myself? You think I just like sit and dream this stuff up? I can't even make this stuff up. No, Paul's brilliant, and he's making a brilliant point here. Brethren, verse 13, new stuff. For brethren, we have been called into liberty. Liberty is a wonderful thing. Only Christians have liberty. Only. Exclusively. Isn't that something? Because people think we're in this tremendous bondage of religion. Oh, well, no, we're the only ones who are free. I remember early on, I was talking to my sister. my very religious sister, who said, and I was talking to her about salvation by grace through faith. Jesus died for me. It's done. All my sins were paid for by Jesus on the cross. And my sister said something very interesting. She said, oh, so you can go out and set up a storm now. You can go out and you can murder and commit adultery and steal, and it's all under the blood. And I thought, like, I'm no Christian. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think God's called us to live that way. But you want to cut to the chase? All my sins are under the blood, even the ones I haven't committed yet. Now listen. I really, really sincerely believe that. So you're saying, great, the sky's the limit. Hold on. Come on back. Don't go there. It's a doctrine. It's called antinomianism. Now, some of you are saying, Anton, I don't care, whatever. And some guys here are just like, antinomianism. Oh, I got a new verb, a new word. This is like, I can be the life of the party. This is so good, worth the price of admission. Okay, so for you who don't care, just work with me for a second. Antinomianism. Christ covers all your sins, so therefore you don't have to keep any law, not even social custom, not even nothing. It's all under the blood. He hasn't called us to live like that, because the rest of us figured out, because I had figured out early on, I said, that's not quite right. Did Christ save me so I could smoke dope and live with my girlfriend, so I could just be a total lawbreaker and not care about anything? Is that why he saved me? Really? I was weak. I was really. I didn't have a game. I didn't have a theology. I hadn't thought. So I said to her, "I don't do that." That was the right answer. I didn't. But that doesn't tell you anything, right? Just because I didn't do it. Because then, oh, you're wrestling. Okay, Christ died for my sins. So what am I supposed to do on a daily basis? It's not the law. What am I supposed to do? Don't go off to the other end, antinomianism. The law doesn't count, therefore no laws count. Wait a second, come on back. Verse 13, brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. I can sin up a storm. Jesus gave me a free get out of hell. It's a free get out of hell card. I got a hall pass and do all the sin in the world. He said, no, wait, that's not why you were set free. That's not why Christ brought you into this wonderful liberty, to use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. The sky's the limit. No. It's because I'm saying don't keep the law. I'm not saying don't be a scofflaw. Don't be a profligate. Don't see how much sin you can get rid of. Listen, bottom line, has Christ died for all my sin? Yeah. But I still sin, so I'm going to go out and sin. Well, no, it's not a good testimony. No, I'm free from the power of sin. Besides, when I sin, I don't get to pick the penalty. Well, there's no hell. You're saying, I'm thinking, yeah, but this hell on earth, if I cheat on my wife, she's still going to leave me. I'm still going to end up divorced. If I knock over a bank, I'm still going to jail. Sin, listen to this. This is what I thought about sin. It never, ever, ever, ever advances your cause, not even a little bit, not ever. Now, it always promises that it's going to do that. It always promises, oh, it's going to be fun, it's going to be so cool, it's going to be so great. And it never is. A long time ago, I've been saved for like, since 1980, you can do the math. A long time ago, I figured out, Satan's a liar. He tells me all this stuff, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. And then how come I'm crawling back to Jesus? Forgive me again, I messed up again. How wonderful was that, Satan? You're a liar. You're always a liar. So he tells me, you have to live like there's any law whatsoever. And I'm thinking, that never advanced my cause. It never makes me a better person. Never makes me a better husband. Never makes me a better father. Never makes me a better friend. It never makes me a better worker. There's no benefit whatsoever in sin at all, ever. So at some point, I had to figure this out, and I hope you're figuring it out. Satan's a liar. Just because Jesus died for all your sin, you might as well sin up a storm. Wrong answer. Oh, I'm not asking you to keep the law, but I'm not asking you to be a scofflaw. And neither is Paul. Don't go there. You have been called unto liberty. Don't use that liberty for an occasion of the flesh. But by love, serve one another. Our walk is a faith walk. Verse 6. But faith which worketh by love. How do you know somebody has faith? Oh, love. Love. What is this liberty all about? It's an occasional love. Nobody's wowed by that. I am tremendously. I'm looking at you and you're like, oh, what's the deal? I don't know. But look, the faith walk, it's a life that looks like the life of Jesus, right? Who had faith like Jesus has faith, right? And what does he do? He's serving one other people all the time. It's never about Jesus. It's always about everybody else. You ever notice that? I love him so much. I just read about his life, and I'm just thinking, oh, what a wistful, wonderful, winsome, godly, and good life. I wish I could interrupt every funeral with resurrection. I was trying to find out, you know, doing a funeral, trying to find out, okay, what does funerals look like? How does Christ approach that? He was not instructive or helpful at all. Every time there's a funeral, he raised somebody up. And now I can't do that. What am I supposed to do? Thanks a lot. But isn't that a wonderful thing? You got people are grieving. Next, they're all doing the happy monkey dance. They ran into Jesus. He's awesome. So what listen, antinomianism. Just go commit adultery. This is a very instructive story. It's a woman taken in adultery and brought before Jesus Christ. That's not going to go well with her. She's going to have rocks hitting her head until it crushes her skull in. It's a nasty way to die. She's on her way to certain imminent, horrible death, but she runs into Jesus. What's the problem? Adultery. What's the solution? Hey, don't do that anymore. What about the ones I've already done? Oh, God will forgive you for that. She runs into Jesus, and she's going sin no more. She's like, totally, I get it. You think adultery was a problem with that woman after that? I kind of don't think so. I think, so people that got the death sentence, they got leprosy, they run into Jesus. Hey, if you could make me clean. I will be clean. Touches them. Can't touch a leper. Jesus can. We just read about it. He's borne all our griefs, all our sorrows, all our infirmities. What happens? He becomes infirm? No, we become stable. We become whole. We become healthy. It's just Jesus. He's awesome. I love him so much. But the faith walk looks like something. It looks like love. Everything is about me, what I can do, what I can get away with, what I shouldn't do, what I shouldn't get away with. Everything here is just my whole life is lived right here. That's a life poorly lived. That's a sad, tragic. That's wrong. That's wrong on so many levels. No. You've been called into liberty. Don't use your liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Look at you. Want to? You a law keeper? You want to be a law keeper? I'm telling you about the law. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Should we keep Sabbath? I don't know. Love one another. How's that? You know, I don't know. They told me I'm supposed to wear a yarmulke. I just love. Just love. Just go out and love. Just love up a storm. I'm telling you this, that it really, really does work. If you really love like you're supposed to love, you ain't commit adultery. You ain't. That's not love. That's not loving your neighbor. I mean, people joke about it, some lascivious. That's no love. I love you so much, I'm involving you in my perversion, in my sin, in my desperate wickedness. What kind of love is that? No, I love you. I'm going to treat you pure, holy. If I love you, I'm going to steal from you if I love you. If I love you, I'm sure not going to murder you. I'm not going to murder your reputation. I'm not saying stories about you when you're not in the room. I'm not talking behind your back. Why? I love you. You see how that works? I'm keeping all the laws. I'm just loving like Jesus did. I love that person. Nothing but good is going to happen to that person in my presence. I'm going to be a total benefit. I'm going to see the one in need, and I'm going to just run to them like Jesus does and take a bad situation and make it better. You want your hands full with something, dude? Adopt that. You got more than you got a lot. You got a lot on your plate now, boy. You do. And will adultery and murder and all that? No, that won't. That melts away. It's saying right here, the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of them. This is biting and devouring one another. Aha. Give us a lot of thought, and this is what I think. On one side, you've got the legalist crowd. You got to do all this stuff and be righteous. And on the other side, you got the antinomian crowd. And you say, and they're like, no, Christ died. None of that. I know, you want to get circumcised, you want to keep Sabbath, you want to do Jewish dietary laws, you could have that. I'm eating pork, bring on the perversion, the filth, the wickedness. It's all under the blood anyway. I still hear that, by the way. I still hear that. People excusing sin saying it's under the blood. Christians, you should know better. I still hear that. So we have this debate, and what's happening? They're biting and devouring one another. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know why? I love my body. I really do. You say, why? I don't know. It's the only one I got, right? Look, I get up in the middle of the night. I'm going to the bathroom, right? And I stub my toe on the foot of the bed. Done it. And suddenly, my whole body is very sympathetic to my toe. I bring it up to a point where I can hang on to it in both hands, and I'm jumping up and down the other foot. Tears in my eyes, trying not to say, bowling words and wake up my wife or disturb her from her slumber. And I love my body. Now, let's say I go right by the foot of the bed and I don't bump my toe at all. Then what do I do? Well, I got to hurt my toe. It's only right. So I take it and I bite it real hard and draw blood, right? You say, why would you do that? I don't know. One, I don't think I could really do that. I don't think I'm that flexible. Two, it would be unavailing. Three, it would be totally gross. I was going to say undignified, but I'll buy gross. I don't do that ever. Why? You're saying, who does that? We do. We bite and devour one another. We have in this, Emily said it back along. She told me this word, mummy wars. The moms come out and they use Facebook for their battle royale, the cloth mummies against the Huggies mummies. Listen, if you're a cloth girl and you're trying to save the world, I'm okay. God bless you. Serious. I don't want two sides. And then the other Huggies mom is saying, I got three in diapers, I can't do cloth, and my husband works at the Huggies factory and he'll be laid off if we all, I don't know, whatever. You can sort that all out. If you really thought there was really a problem, wouldn't you like pray for one another? Wouldn't you like come together? Because that's what bodies do. Can I say a word about vaccinations? I'm not a doctor. Whether you vaccinate or not, is that a huge, huge, huge decision? Vaccinating or not vaccinating, that's huge. And I don't know. So look at me, you think I should vaccinate? I'm thinking like, yeah, go for it. And then something bad happens to your child. I don't want that on my, I'm not qualified. That's over my pay grade. Don't you see that? I'm in over my skis. So I say, no, vaccination, that's a horrible idea. So you don't, and something really horrible happens to your child. But you know what I think the body of Christ should do? When you guys like have a baby, you moms, get together, pray, have an all-night vigil. I don't know, what should I do about this vaccination stuff? Either it's big, where it's a huge, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, I'm a pastor. And you can go online and see all the many YouTube videos and whatever in each way. I'm just saying Christians shouldn't be at war. I'm saying don't bite and devour one another. Love one another. And if you really think that's an issue, lovingly love one another about it. And if somebody's like making that decision, you're saying, oh, I hope it's the right thing. Oh, I'm praying. I love you so much. I hope everything comes out okay. That's what I would do. You say, not really. Yeah, really. How many of you have ever won a Facebook war? So you spew, and then there's people in both camps, and they write all their stuff, and I don't know that anything good happened there. If you got Facebook and you find out how your daughter in Florida is doing, praise God. I'm not anti-technology guy, don't get me wrong. But that's always like everything I got wrong in my life, I'm just going to put it on Facebook and just spew. And then everyone lines up on both sides and they have a whatever. I think if it gets poison out of their system or something. But the family of God, the children of God, the people of God, devouring one, I think is a bad idea. It's biting your own toes. You have some mental image right now, good. If you think that's ridiculous, don't do it. Don't bite one another. Don't devour one another. Now, I got a question for you. Who's right in the antinomianism versus flesh debate? Who's acting in the flesh? I mean, antinomianism versus law debate. Who's acting in the flesh? Well, obviously, those people say, I can sin up a storm. Whatever. Christ died for me. I can do whatever I want. They're in the flesh, obviously. What about the law people? Well, they're in the flesh too, just in a different direction. They're in the flesh in this way. They do all the, I kept Shabbat, I didn't press an elevator button on the Shabbat, I didn't eat any pork chops this week, and they check it off on their refrigerator and have all these stars, gold stars that they gave themselves, and they pat themselves on the back, what a good job I've done. That's, your flesh loves that. That's not spiritual. Both of those aren't spiritual. You say those are opposites. Yeah, but they're opposites like head and tails are opposites. They're opposite on the same coin. They're different sides of the same coin. Your flesh is operating in this direction. Your flesh is operating in this direction. But it's flesh. And he's saying, no, no, no. We got something so much better. Christ has set us free. Now listen. But if you bite and devour one, take heed that you don't not consume one of another. This I say. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You mean there's another alternative? Yeah. The opposite of both those sides of that coin, the other opposite altogether is walking in the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Those are the two things. And I don't care which direction your flesh takes. Remember I said about religion back along? It'll lead to one of two things. Anyone remember what the two things are? I've said this a lot of times. Depression and what? Arrogance. You get a gold star. You move right up to the head of class. You can sit in the front row. Only you. No, he's right. He's exactly right. So we keep the law, or we do religion, and we do not so good. Like I didn't do not so good. And what does it lead to? It leads to depression. You try in religion, and you get a sense that I'm not doing a real good job of it. And then you're depressed. Or you do religion vis-a-vis the law, and you're doing a real good job of it, or you sense that you're doing a real good job, what happens in every instance? You nobody can even be around you. You're so full of yourself, and look at how awesome I am, whether you say it or not, that arrogance, you exude that. How do you stay humble? You walk in the Spirit. Anything that I've ever done in my life that even closely resembles the life of Jesus Christ, you understand it was the Spirit of God in me. When I'm leading, what happens? Chaos, turmoil, bad vibes, people get their feelings hurt. And I can walk in the flesh like anyone can walk in the flesh. So, and I think we all have like a propensity to either go in the antinomianism, just full-blown sin, or the legalistic. Which one do you think I'm more geared towards? Anyone venture a guess? Huh? Legalistic if I had to choose. No, legalistic if you had to choose. I mean, what do you see in my life more? I'm more the rules guy. Don't do, and don't do, and don't do. I mean, I'm trying to keep the balance. I'm really working. I'm thoughtful about it. I think about it. But my natural propensity, I'm like, you know, religious, keep all the rules. Come on, what's your problem? I can do it. Why can't you? So, I mean, I'm just being honest, right? Honesty in church, we like that. But it's both flesh. And God doesn't want you to be either full of yourself or depressed. How do I avoid both of those pitfalls? Walk in the Spirit. Now walk, what does walk mean? It means make progress in this. And the walk is the Christian life. I mean, you know, obviously. And what am I doing? I'm walking. I'm progressing. I'm making strides. I'm going someplace. Now, that's the key. That's the goal. That's the whole thing. It's not a destination. It's an image. And the image is of Jesus Christ. But that's the walk, and that's the progression I'm making. Some people never progress. They stand or fall. I'm telling you, if you're involved in sin, unchecked, unconfessed sin, you're falling. If you're, like, keeping the law to the nth degree, you're falling too. You're just falling in different directions. You can only stand in one direction. You can fall in 1,000 different directions. But I want to walk. I want to walk in the Spirit. What does that look like? Okay, we have the Spirit. We get saved. The Spirit of God comes to reside in us. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we have access to the Spirit now. He lives inside of us. I'm not talking about the upon. In Calvary Chapel circles, we always talk about the with, the in, and the upon of the Spirit. We talk about the second blessing and the filling of the Spirit, speaking in tongues. I'm not even talking about any of that stuff. I'm not talking against speaking tongues. Speaking tongues, I've told you before, okay? I'm not going there. Because here, like, you're thinking, okay, there's this kind of Christians, these kind of, no. Saved. Basic, God and variety. I just got saved last Tuesday, Christian. Jesus Christ has come to live in me in the form of the Holy Spirit. I can walk in the Spirit. I have access to the Spirit. I have access to his emotions. He impresses on my life. You know, I want to tell you something. Every time I cross a line and do something wrong, I get that. Just yesterday, I'm out hunting, right? Godly pursuit, right? He's given us dominion over the earth. I was trying to harvest just a little bit of it, unsuccessfully. Okay, if you have trouble with the whole hut thing, I wasn't successful, and now you're happy, okay? But I had this little, because my friend said, hey, why don't we do it? And I'm thinking like, yeah, no. And there's this little, because it wasn't quite kosher with the rules. I know the rules. And it wasn't a big deal. I could tell you the whole, it's nothing. And I was at that check in the Spirit, and I felt like the Lord was saying to me, hey, pastor. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. This is my good buddy and stuff. And I'm like, I can't do that. And he's like, oh, okay, then just, and I was like, I'm so glad I mentioned it. I'm so glad that, you know, because I was all like back in freedom. I was happy again. I had like some spring in my step. Just because I had that little tiny check in my spirit. It's a little still small voice. And you know, he didn't say, hey, pastor. You notice when the Spirit of God talks to me, he always uses the words that I would use, and he always speaks in a Boston accent. I get impressions. I put words to them. Do that. When you feel like is that you, Lord? Is that? Always follow that, even if you doubt maybe it might. Because I was just thinking easily. It's like, okay, obeying the rules. Is that Satan? No, let's X him out of the equation. Is that my flesh? No, my flesh is a rule breaker I'm born that way, so let me X that out. So what's the other option? The Spirit of God would say, hey, don't do that. It's just against the rules. It's just wrong. It'll violate your conscience. Don't do that. That's walking in the Spirit. Okay, that was a really stupid little illustration, but it was the only one I could come up with, okay? Just that little check when you get into that place and you're thinking, okay, this or this, and there's always that little, I was going to use like a nag, but that's not a good word, and I don't want to put a bad word on the Holy Spirit, but that little check in your spirit, that little, don't do that. And that's all you get. You know, some of us get very, very, very good at saying, oh, and just going on what we want to do anyway. I think the Spirit's voice gets weaker and weaker and weaker. I think it's how it works. And I think okay, I got it. And do that, and we build up it's the handle, the steering wheel that the Spirit of God uses to control our life. That little, and it's not always like a do or don't do, in the sense of like we come into that like fork in the road. Sometimes the Spirit of God speaks to us that we should go and do something and go speak to that person about my son. And now he's like, I was thinking, that's easy for me. I'm a pastor. That's what I do. I could do it here easily because that's what you expect. I mean, you're here. You expect me to open Bible and teach from it. You don't expect nursery rhymes or juggling. If I had a little dummy, a little ventriloquist act, you'd, what is this? This is weird. And you'd walk out and I wouldn't blame you. No, you expect me to do that. But when I got to go up and talk to somebody, just talk to somebody out of the blue, I feel it's the same Spirit of God telling me. And he's saying, walk in the Spirit. Do what I tell you to do. Life will be so much better. And I'm always like, oh, I don't know. Like you do. Walk in the Spirit. What are you doing when you're doing that? You're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I'm not breaking any commandments by doing what the Lord tells me to do. You see that, don't you? I mean, this is you can't gainsay this. This is stuff that makes so much sense. Does the Lord lead me in Sabbath keeping? Not to this point. I want you to keep more Sabbath, Adam. Hey, he told me to take a break. You need a rest. You say, really? Yeah. I don't know. He speaks to me. Oh, so you hear from God, huh? Not audibly. I get them same impressions you get. I mean, listen. So some people here say, this guy's, I'm calling the people from the Waldorf Astoria to come, and this guy hears from God. How many of you people felt that God talks to you? Just can you raise your hand? We're all crazy. You know what I mean? So I'm talking to I'm singing to the choir here. You know what I'm saying? And here he's saying, listen, this is so basic. This is basic. This is like first grade Christianity, right? I could tell this to 8-year-olds, right? And they'd get it. 7-year-old, they'd get it. Walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why is that? Well, verse 17 is why that. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. This is a tug of war, and you're the rope. The one's on both ends. One's the Spirit, one's the flesh. They're entrenched. This is military. They're dug in opposition one to the other. They're entrenched. They ain't going anywhere. You know, I talk to Christians sometime, and like guy's been saved like about 4 or 5 years. I can't believe I still get I get this in my life, this pull towards depravity, towards wickedness, towards lust, or some guy will tell me. I'm thinking what do you mean? That's going to be around forever. Flesh doesn't go away. Flesh doesn't get, you can whip it into shape. You can mortify the deeds of the flesh. And why say whip into shape? The shape is dead, assuming room temperature. But it'll resurrect. It'll be back. You know that. It's always going to be there. I remember I was like about 30, and I've been saved like for 10 years. And I asked a guy, and he was like 1,000,005, like with a guy with a Methuselah complex. And I asked him, and I was like, just coming to him like a young man would. I said, he's a guy I respect a lot. I said, so when can I expect for this lust thing to go away? Is that a reasonable question? He said, I don't know. And he's really close to 80 at the time. He says, I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there. And I'm like, holy smokes, I don't want to hear that. You know, he said, but I'm telling you one thing. You have to defeat that right now, or you're going to be an old, dirty old man. You're going to be a pervert. That thing will get right away from you. You have to nip that in the bud. He's like, yeah, okay. That's a good idea. And I really was on fire about it. I don't want to be a dirty old man. I don't want to be an old aqualung, looking, eyeing all the little girls with evil intent. Who wants to be a pervert when they grow up? I don't want to be. So, and I thought you walk in the Spirit. The Spirit never leads me in perversion, never leads me in lust, never, ever, ever, ever. Isn't that a better way to be? Should I keep the Sabbath? Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Obey the voice of the Spirit. And I'm okay with the result. I'm really okay with the result. I have my own ideas. I have my own agenda. And sometimes I want to enforce them on anybody else, everybody else. Guys, you ever hear me speak against Halloween? Anyone ever hear that? I don't. Me and Suze don't do Halloween. I said, really? Why? It's got a pagan origin I'm not quite good with. I'm not trying to, listen, please, I'm just using this illustration only because it happened yesterday. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I'm not trying to say something, use this as a bully pulpit to try to manipulate your viewpoints or anything like that. I know about it. It had a pagan ancestry that I'm not quite comfortable with. I mean, for goodness sake, they don't even let me say Merry Christmas. I mean, you work at a Walmart and you say Merry Christmas. They're threatening to, kick you out unless you say happy holidays. And I'm supposed to, you can't let me celebrate my holidays in peace, and I'm supposed to celebrate your holidays? Forget about it. I ain't doing it. So I just kind of have this big thing about, so much so yesterday, I was out hunting, like I told you, and we just don't like to do the whole, we don't like to do it. Anyway, so I came back early, took her out to eat so that we wouldn't be home and dodged a bullet. It's good. I took it to Chipotle, and they had this thing going, which is totally good food. If you haven't gone there, do. But beyond all that, amen. But beyond all that, they had this. She had got a gift card. That's why we went there. She also got a gift card for Panera Bread, so we're going to be equal opportunity. We'll be there too. So went to Chipotle, and they had this $3 burrito if you're wearing costume. And they're like $7 or $8. But the burritos are like, I don't know if you've been there, that's a meal. If you eat a big one of them, you're doing well. all I can do to get a whole burrito anyway. So, they must have let the college know, because we have all these young people. This guy's a horse's head, and this we have vampire people over here, and all these we got a group of cowboys coming in, and all this stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? And she gets online. She says, oh, it's the thing. You know, if you wear a costume, you get a $3 burrito. And all the college kids, man, $3 burrito is a big thing. So the place is in, you know, we're out the door down a block. I mean, the line. We get there early enough so that we're only like 100 or something in line, but it goes pretty fast. So we're there and like we're trying to avoid Halloween, and we're in Halloween Central. And so it's kind of like, and she didn't get the, she was really mad because she didn't have a costume on. The lady before us, like, the lady rings up, she goes, how come I didn't get the $3? The lady casually says, you're not in costume. She goes, points to her earrings, she got these little jack-o'-lantern earrings. And so the lady adjusts, and now she's down to $3. And so she's all happy. So Suze is like, what do I got in my, she pulls out sunglasses, puts them on, just like, you know, I'm going to be like James Dean or whatever, I don't know. But the lady went by, and she didn't get nothing. So Suze is all bummed out. I thought that was kind of justice. Listen, it's not a holiday. You can have it. I'll pay full price, whatever. But what am I talking about this for? Just tell you this story? No. We don't do Halloween. You do? You're spirit-filled? Okay. No. Listen to what I'm saying. There's a lot of you say, I don't know Halloween. People in this church do. And you do. And you get the same spirit that I get. Praise God. I'm not trying to Facebook and win a war and trying to, you love Jesus, right? You're trying to serve Jesus, right? And you went to this church thing and it was trunk or treat and kids got, they dressed up and it's like whatever foolishness and they got treats. Bully for you. Amen. What do you think? I don't always try to get my point across. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of ideas that I don't always try to, because I want you to just come at your own and just pray through and get. Here's one. Can Christians who love the Lord come at different end result to the same? Okay. We eat and don't eat things because of companies that this company gives to abortion. This company gives to gay rights. And we know about that. And so we've abstained from this and we've abstained from that. Notice I'm not telling you what company and what. I'm not trying to get you to join me in my. See? I'm not trying to advance an agenda. I'm going to name one, though, just because it's my thinking. Starbucks says, listen, if you believe in traditional marriage, we don't want your business. So we said, okay. I'm spared, Phil. I love Jesus. I don't want to go to Starbucks. Now, so my boss, my new boss last year, first day meets me, takes me over to Starbucks. I'm going to make his big stand. Nah. He wants the Verdi, I don't know, cappuccino macchiato with the shavings and the foam and the, it takes him longer to order it than it does to drink it, you know. And he turns to me and says, okay, what do you want? I said, small black. He's like, what is this guy? He's like, going to fire me right on the spot. He just met me, right? Small black coffee. Hey, I'm just a regular Joe, and I like my Joe regular. I black coffee. That's how I roll. And I get small. It's enough. If I want more, I'll get another one. Just even when it's on somebody else, I don't like big, because by the time you get to the bottom, it's cold. I always get small coffee. Sue me. So I don't generally go to Starbucks. They said they don't want me there. I'm thinking, okay, you love Jesus and you go to Starbucks. I'm okay with that. I mean, you pray this all the way through, right? I'm praying, and the Lord says, no, it looks like Dunkin' Donuts for you today. I'm like, oh, okay. Off we go to Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, you know, God made coffee beans. I can enjoy them at Dunkin' Donuts as well. I can enjoy them anywhere else. And you say, no, I love the Lord. I really want to do the Lord's will, but I don't think that matters. I mean, look, at the end of the day, they tell me, they can't tell me. I'll eat wherever I want to eat, and I'll buy what I want to buy. And that, I don't care what they spend their money on. None of that stuff matters to me. And I prayed this too, and I think that the Spirit of God wants me in this restaurant to be a Christian witness. I don't want to have all heathens there. And you're thinking, like, really? You came up with that? Praise God. You're saying, seriously? Seriously. I ain't going to Facebook about it and try to get everyone to stop being a Starbucks person. I don't want to bite and devour one another. I want to operate in love. And I think the Spirit of God's calling us a spirit of unity. You know, I really want to walk in the Spirit to such a degree that, if I were to, you know what's wrong with us? You know what's wrong with me? The Spirit of God's not as operating in my life as to the degree He wants to. Just being honest. I think that's, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I think that's a problem with all of us. When people come in, they sense the presence of the Spirit. It's like, oh, wow, God's here. This is incredible. I don't think so. It's on me. It's on all of us. I won't take all blame. I think that's what we need. Do we need more Facebook pages and more debates and more devouring one? I don't think we need it. I don't think we need it. I think this is the key. This is really important. Actually, this is where we stop. Next week, we're going to talk about what the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit looks like. It's right there. In verses 19 to 20, what the flesh looks like. Youch. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Not drinking from that fountain, thank you very much. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance is self-control. Hey, there's no law against those things. You don't keep the law, keep that law. Fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against it. And I think that's what we need to do. Listen, you got homework. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to keep serving the flesh. It's so selfless. It's like some dog chasing its tail. I'm just going around in circles. I'm not making any progress whatsoever. Hey, it's for liberty that Christ has set us free. Stand fast in that and don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Flesh is whether it's flesh keeping the law or flesh breaking all the laws, it's still flesh and it's still just going around in a circle, just not advancing, not getting closer to God, not doing anything of any lasting value. Just, there you go. I don't want it. I got one chance at this life. At the end of it, if I don't like the way it came out, I'm not going to get a do-over. I wanted my life to count for something. What does that look like? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fill me. Use me. Make me more like Jesus. Lead me in the things that you want to lead me in. I want to be totally yours. I want to be controlled by you all the time. Kind of on the same page about that. Now, let's have an altar call. And we'll come up here and cry and pray and stuff like this. Well, listen, if you want to, we're always available for prayer or just in the privacy of your own life. Now, if someone's saying, I don't know any of what he's talking about, that's because you're not born again. Step one, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He will, in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. And then you'll say, oh, I see what he's talking about. God really does work in your heart. He really does talk to you. He really does move in your spirit and tell you things that he wants you to do. You'll see it. That's kind of step two. Step one is ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let's stand. Let's pray. Matt will send us out of here in song. And we're totally available for prayer afterwards. We are so like to pray with you. And if you want to make this like public, I want to pray. Here we are, okay? Let's pray. You're good. You're gracious. You're a loving God. You want to deliver us from the flesh, no matter what it looks like. And we praise and thank you. The flesh is nasty. It's all selfish, self-absorbed. It's all about us at the end of the day. Lord, we want to be about others. We want to worship and love you and serve you and serve others. Help us to be the men, the women you've called us to be. And for the ones who are still on the outside looking in, may this be the day that you break through, gloriously bring people to a saving knowledge of your glorious and good Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray these things. Amen.